14, verse 1, says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions." Let's pray. Father, help us to hear your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that what we hear we might be open to, ready to obey, ready to listen. Help us, Father, to have the right heart attitude we need if we're going to please you. So we pray tonight we might understand your word and then we might apply and do it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone said a long time ago that we're not an island unto ourselves. And by that they meant that everything we do has an impact on somebody else. With that in mind, when we choose what we are going to do or choose what we are not going to do, it has an impact on someone else. It has an impact on other people, both believers and non-believers, according to 1 Corinthians 10. Our actions, our lack thereof, affect others. So when we come to the issue that we began talking about last Sunday night, the issues of opinion, issues of preference, gray zone issues, issues that are not directly spoken of in the Bible, how do we deal with those issues? Some would cry as Christians that in Christ we have been set free and that in Christ we can do whatever we want. In fact, I think it's 2 Corinthians 3:17 that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we have liberty in Christ. And some would cry that, hey, that means whatever I want to do, I can do, and I don't really care how it affects anybody else. But is that the attitude a believer ought to have? There is a difference between looking for liberty and freedom that we are given by God, and then whether we're going to use that liberty or freedom that God gives us, whether we're going to use it when it has an impact on other people's lives. The question I want to answer tonight is this. When should we rein in our freedom? When should we, when we have the freedom to do things, the freedom to do maybe whatever we want, when we have that freedom, when should we say, I am going to take my freedom, my liberty, my rights, set them aside, and not do what I believe I have the freedom or the liberty to do? When should I take those things I feel that as a Christian it is permissible to do? When should I take those things and say, you know what? Even though I have a right to do these things, even though I have the freedom to do these things, I'm not going to do them. I'm not going to do them. I think there are four instances as Christians when we need to give up our rights. Four instances when we need to rein in our freedom or our liberty. I want to give them to you tonight. They begin in 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 23. Here's the first one. When your freedom causes your brother to stumble. When your freedom causes your brother to stumble, you ought to take your freedom and set it aside. Now, brother here relates to other Christians, not necessarily your physical brother, although that might be included. Look with me at beginning in verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment, criticize, on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. So Paul's saying, look, anything out there that I feel I want to eat, I have a right to eat it. Remember last Sunday night we looked at that whole issue in verse 1 through verse 12, where some believers thought that eating meat that was offered to an idol was something that Christians should not eat. Paul said, look, I believe I have a right to eat that meat. Other Christians felt that they needed to observe special holidays and days because it went back to their old Jewish religious beliefs of the old Levitical law. Paul said, look, I don't have to look at any particular day and worship that more than any other day. Every day is equal in my sight. But he says here in verse 13 through 15, if what I do causes my brother, another Christian, to stumble, a brother or sister in Christ, then I need to take my freedom and set it aside. Now let's look at the words. The word judgment in verse 12 means to criticize. So he says, let's stop criticizing one another. Especially in context, verse 1, when it comes to these issues of opinions, these gray zone issues. And he says in verse 12, look, let's decide never, ever, never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in our fellow Christians' way. The word stumbling block refers to an offense. We talked about that this morning. An offense. Something that offends. An occasion or a reason for taking offense. It refers to something that would cause someone to trip. The word hindrance is a temptation to sin. Trap or snare. Something that might lead someone else into sin. So, for example, you might feel you have a right to do something, but another Christian feels that they're not really sure that it's okay. They may even think that it's not okay. But they look at what you're doing, they say, well, if they're doing it, must be okay, so maybe I'll do it too. But in doing so, they offend their own conscience. And when they do that, they sin. Look back at verse 7. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. If you're going to do something, you need to make sure that you are fully convinced that what you're about to do is the right thing to do. If not, then you shouldn't do it. So they see you doing it. They think, well, if they did it, it's all right. But they're still kind of juggling whether it's all right or not. They do it. You've just caused them to sin. Look down at the end of verse 23. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So your freedom, that gives you the freedom to do something that might cause another person not have the faith to do what you did, but they do it because you did it, you've just led them into sin by your actions. Paul says, don't do that. Don't put a hindrance in a brother's way, a hindrance, something that would tempt them to sin. Don't put a stumbling block in their way, something that might cause them to trip over an offense. They needed to be careful in their use of their liberty that they did not cause a fellow Christian to do something that went against their conscience. In so doing, they would cause their brother or sister in Christ to stumble. Now you might say, look, I feel I have a right to do it. So what? You might say, hey, look, I have the freedom to do it, and I don't find anything in God's word that tells me I can't. So what? If you do it and you cause another Christian to stumble in sin, what you're doing is wrong, even if you feel you have the freedom to do it. When your freedom causes your brother to stumble, it is wrong. When your freedom causes your brother to be grieved, it is wrong. Look at verse 14. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Nothing's unclean. You can eat whatever you want. But if someone thinks it's unclean, then they can't eat it. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. You are no longer walking in love. Paul comes down on the side of the mature believer. The issue is that, again, of food. He says, look, a mature believer realizes they could eat whatever they want to eat, even if it was something offered to an idol. But if in so doing you cause your brother to then go and eat when they feel that maybe they shouldn't, then you've just caused them to be grieved. And when you do that, you are not acting in love. When you go and do that and your fellow Christian sits there and they watch what you're doing and they are grieved, you are no longer acting in love. The word grieve means to be sad or distressed. So you go out and you say, look, I have a right to do this. I have the freedom, the liberty to do this. A fellow Christian sits and they watch you doing what you feel you have the freedom to do. And in watching you do that, they are sad or they are grieved or they are distressed. When that happens, you're not walking in love because you're walking in selfishness, not thinking about your fellow Christian. You might say, if I do that, then I'm letting other people control me. Well, sometimes that might be true. Sometimes we do allow ourselves not to do some things we have the freedom to do because we don't want to hurt a fellow Christian. Why? Because we love them. And we're willingly, absolutely willing to give up what we have the freedom to do so that we don't hurt another Christian. That is the attitude that we ought to have. And that is the attitude that he's speaking of in these verses. In fact, turn with me. Hold your finger here, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Spelled out even further in 1 Corinthians 8. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 8, beginning in verse 7. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through their former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So someone who goes ahead and eats, and they don't feel they have the freedom to do so, they defile their own conscience. That's not a good thing. Verse 8. Food will not commend us to God. We're no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now, you can enter here in verse 8 anything you want. Don't just stick with food, but think of anything you feel you have the freedom to do. Maybe playing cards. Maybe dancing. Maybe eating. Maybe, I don't know, you could add in anything you want in there. Verse 9, but take care that this right of yours is not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be discouraged? If his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols, and so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. You have the freedom to do what you want, but in using your freedom, look, you can destroy your brother. And remember, your brother in Christ is someone whom Christ died for. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Paul says, look, if I'm in the presence of someone who feels that they don't have the freedom to do what I feel I have the freedom to do, I'm not going to do it. Never, ever, ever. Now, he might do it when those other weak conscience, immature believers are not around. He might go ahead and do some things. But if they're around, he's not going to do those things because he might cause them to offend their conscience. He might cause them to stumble. He might cause them to be destroyed. So he says, look, I'll never touch meat again. Think about it for a moment. Paul is saying he is willing to give up meat. He has every right to eat. He is willing to give it up for his entire life because he cares so much about fellow Christians. There are freedom that you feel that you have, a liberty that you feel that you have, every right to do. But maybe if you were around another Christian who doesn't have that same freedom, would you be willing to give up that freedom for the entire rest of your life so that you're not going to offend that fellow Christian? That's what he's saying. In fact, notice he uses really strong words. He says here, destroy this fellow Christian. He doesn't want to destroy them. And go back to verse Romans 14. He says that again. Look at Romans 14 in the middle of verse 15. By what you eat or do, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. It's almost the same words. Whatever you have the freedom that you feel you have the freedom to do, do not by using that freedom destroy your fellow Christian for whom Christ died. The word destroy means to ruin. Why should we not ruin them? Because there's someone for whom Christ died. We should not injure our fellow Christian over something that is just really an issue of opinion, an issue that some people feel they can do and others feel that they can't do. We should not insist on our rights or our freedom or our liberty over things that really are not important. I mentioned one of those issues last week, the issue of playing cards. You know, there's some Christians who feel you should never play cards. I'm not of that opinion. I feel that you can play cards as long as you don't gamble. There's some card games that I really like to play. But if I am around other Christians who would be offended by me playing cards, you know what? I won't play them. Because the person who might be offended is someone for whom Christ has died. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. I don't want to grieve them. And I certainly don't want to destroy them by my use of my freedom. So we must be willing to give up those things we feel that we can do if it will cause an offense to another Christian. I mentioned this morning we looked at offenses, that the very first point I gave was we should do all that we can that we don't offend other people. This would be an area where we might do that very thing. Number two, when should we rein in our freedom? When your freedom injures your testimony. When your freedom injures your testimony. Look with me beginning in verse 16 of Romans 14. So do not let what you regard as good to be spoken of as evil. There might be someone in your life and you say, hey, this is good. I enjoy doing this. I like this. This is a good thing. But be careful in that good thing that others might look at it and say, you know what? This is evil. You know, there are things we can do that we might think are okay, but others might look on it, and just by what we do, they come away saying, hey, you've just done something evil. So we say, you know what, I have every right to do it. It's okay, it's good, there's nothing wrong with it, but what others think about it? And are you willing to ruin your testimony over your right to do that particular thing? God says you shouldn't. You might hurt your testimony. And are you willing to hurt your testimony for that right? Do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. It says in 1 Thessalonians, avoid even the appearance of evil. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about diets and days. And what he's saying here is that these things really in the realm of everything, do they really matter? Does it really matter whether you eat or you don't eat? Does it really matter whether you do that which you have a right to do or whether you don't? Is it really all that important when you think of your life in light of eternity? When you think of your testimony? kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We ought to do those things that honor God, and those things that bring God praise, and those things that are righteous, and those things that cause peace and joy. Verse 18, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. If you want to please Christ and be approved by Him, then we need to make sure that we serve Christ in righteousness and peace and joy. And as we do that, notice we pursue peace and we pursue what leads to mutual upbuilding. Pursue means to chase after something with intense effort. Have you been watching the Olympics? I mean, I remember Michael Phelps the other day. I think he was in seventh or fifth in the one race he was in. And all of a sudden, it seems like someone turned on a motor and he flew by everybody and he got the gold medal. You know, sometimes I remember when I was in high school and I used to run the 880 relay. And I was in the relays one time and everybody was in front of us because the guy who ran first was hurt and he ended up being behind everybody. So everybody in front of us and I thought, I got to catch them all. So I pursued them. Pursue with intense effort. We ought to pursue what leads to peace, and we ought to pursue what leads to mutual upbuilding. Notice it does not say, pursue your freedom. Pursue your liberty. Pursue your rights. In fact, I don't think there's one place in the Bible where you will find the Bible saying, pursue your rights. In fact, even when it speaks of marriage, there's not one passage in the Bible when it talks about marriage that ever talks about your rights in marriage. It only talks about your responsibilities. We shouldn't do anything that disrupts peace. We should do everything that leads to peace and to mutual upbuilding. Mutual upbuilding is a word that is used for building a house. And it comes carries the idea spiritually of building people up in the idea of strengthening them, helping them towards maturity, edifying them, helping them to grow up in their relationship with God. Everything we do ought to be so that the people around us are growing up spiritually, and we ought never to do anything that causes someone to fall spiritually. Especially in the area that we're talking about here in Romans 14. Something that is simply a matter of opinion. We can injure them. We can injure our own testimony. We ought to be careful we don't major on the minors. That we don't get all heated up over things that really don't matter. And ruin our testimony over things that are just surely and certainly based on opinion. Not things that are clearly spoken of in the Word of God. Number three, when should we reign in our freedom? When your freedom destroys the work of God. When your freedom destroys the work of God. Look at verse 20. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean. That's what a mature believer would say. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Why? Verse 20, for the sake of the work of God. The word destroy means to ruin. It's a different word than the word destroy we looked up earlier in this passage, but it basically has the same idea. This word means to demolish buildings. So think of a wrecking ball kind of coming to a building and it just starts banging against the wall and begins to destroy it. Or think about, you know, one of the buildings where they put the dynamite underneath it and they blow it up and it all kind of implodes in itself. Don't allow anything that you would do somehow hurt the work of God. The work of God is far more important than any food, any day, any gray issue. The work of God is far more important than your rights, than your liberty, than your freedom. Think about this. Is there something in your life that you feel you have a right to do, but maybe other Christians have questioned that right? Is doing that thing worth hurting Christians, causing them to stumble or maybe go into sin? Worth injuring your testimony? And even one step further, is it worth ruining, destroying the work of God? You might say, hey, wait a minute, I got a right to do it. Well, is it worth ruining the work of God over that right? He again reminds us in verse 21 that we need to be very careful that we don't cause a Christian to stumble, take offense by what we do. After Tyndale, the expression was used in the sense of an occasion for moral stumbling, an occasion for falling into calamity, an obstacle to belief, understanding, progress. And more lately, it has come to mean the idea of a threshold or an object sticking up in the road that as you're walking through the door, walking down the road, it causes you to trip. The work of God is far more important than anything we feel we have a right to do. And we as believers must be willing to give up every area of gray zone issues for the work of God, for our testimony, for fellow Christians. And one more thing. Number four. When should we rein in our freedom? When your freedom injures your standing before God. Look at verse 22 and 23. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Now, he's not saying don't share your faith. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about your faith, which is the freedom you feel that you have in gray zone issues. The freedom that you may feel you have to do some things in your life that are not clearly condemned in the Word of God. The faith that you have concerning those areas of liberty. Notice what he says about them. Keep between yourself and God. There are some things in life that you ought to just not talk about, that you ought to just keep to yourself. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats because the eating is not from faith. And whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So what I mean when I talk about your standing before God. There are certain issues within Christianity that are not clearly spoken of in the Word of God, or issues that are issues of opinions, issues that Christians disagree on, whether we have the freedom to do those things or not do those things. Here, Paul is talking about diets and days. You can add a whole bunch of other issues that Christians debate today. Some of those issues and some of our beliefs about those issues, we got to keep to ourselves. We ought not to criticize others over those issues. We ought not to even do those things ourselves because we might offend others. We ought to just keep them to ourselves. There are some things that maybe we have the freedom to do, but we'll never do the rest of our life because of our testimony, because of the work of God, because of our brother or sister in Christ, because it may hurt our standing before God. Verse 23. Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. Sometimes people come to me and ask me, is it okay to do this or that? And I will first say, do you feel that you have every right to do this or that? And they will say, well, I'm not sure. Then let me first say, if you're not sure, don't. If there's any doubt in your heart, any doubt in your mind, whether you have the freedom to do something, don't. If you do it and you're not sure, then you've sinned against God and you've hurt your standing before God. Whoever eats and he doubts is condemned because his eating is not from faith. And whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Anything in our life that we do that we're not doing in faith, it's against the word of God. It's sin. As God's children, we need to make sure that we walk in faith in every single area of our life. And if it is not in faith, then it is sin. So if there's anything in your life that you are doing and there's some doubts whether you should be doing it, by doing it, you are sinning against God. You have to have a firm faith conviction that everything you do is right before God. And if you don't, don't. And even if you do, if others don't, don't. And even if you do, but it might hurt God's work, don't. See, the thing that separates Christians from the world, at least one of the things that separates Christians from the world, is that we're willing to rein in our freedom so that we don't hurt other people. The thing that separates Christians from others is that we are concerned about how our actions affect other people. We are concerned about our testimony before others. We don't just say, I don't care what people think. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. We are concerned about the work of God. We are concerned about our standing before God. Martin Luther, in his treatise on the freedom of the Christian man, wrote this: a Christian man is the most free lord of all, subject to none. And then he continued, a Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all, subject to all. So when you think about gray zone issues, issues of opinions, often, more than not, the question we ought to be asking is not, can we or can't we? More importantly, the question we ought to be asking is, how is this going to affect other Christians? How is this going to affect my testimony? How is this going to affect the work of God? How is this going to affect my standing before God? And once we've answered those questions, then we can begin to think about whether we should or should not do something we might feel we have a right to do. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, help us to be wise. Help us, Lord, to think about our actions and how others may be impacted by those actions. And I pray, Lord, we would not just think about our own desires, our own rights. Pray, Lord, we might consider all of these other areas. And that in considering them, we might do what is right in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.